digging in the dirt. Digging in the dirt.
This is Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher, where Kevin and his guests dig a little deeper into today's issues surrounding the environment, farming, gardening, and food.
This is Kevin Gallagher, and I recently attended the Bionutrient Food Association annual conference, where there was a lot of excited discussion about the very real possibility a handheld device called the Bionutrient Meter just may become reality in the very near future. The Bionutrient Meter would read the makeup of our food at point of purchase to reveal its nutritional and taste quality. What follows is my interview with the executive director of the BFA, Dan Kittredge.
It's pretty exciting about this meter. I mean, there's a lot of enthusiasm around it. So in a nutshell, we've talked about this before, but tell me again about the meter, what it is and what your hopes for it are.
The Bionutrient Meter, we're calling it the Gizmo affectionately, is a handheld spectrometer, which is basically, it's a small tool that you use, you flash a light at a crop, a food, can be a carrot or a cucumber, can be beef or milk. And functionally, it reads what the nutrient level is in that crop and can spit it back out at you. It's designed to tell anyone in the supply chain, from the farmer to the buyer to the consumer, relatively how good the food is that they're dealing with. And sort of the big elephant in the room here in this conversation is that there's a massive variation in nutrient levels in food. On the order of thousands of percent variation. I was just using this morning an example from a conversation I had with Joel Salatin, where he said he was part of a research project that Mother Earth News did a couple of years ago, and they had 10 farmers who were doing grass-fed poultry. They were taking their chickens out in the range and chicken tractors and things like that, and they took the eggs from those chickens and they ran them through a complete mineral assay in a lab and then looked at those numbers in relation to what the USDA average is for what's supposed to be in an egg. And beta-carotene, one of the active nutritional compounds in eggs, in Joel's eggs, was 4,000% higher than the USDA average. People think that all carrots have the same nutrients in them, all tomatoes have the same nutrients in them, beef, chicken, milk, whatever, and that's absolutely not true. There's a massive variation. It does not necessarily correlate with whether something is local or organic. It has everything to do with the flavor and aroma. So when a carrot tastes good, it's much more nutritious than a carrot that doesn't taste good, the tomato, et cetera. So the spectrometer, the handheld nutrient meter, is designed to give, ideally we talk about the consumer, the ability to choose at point of purchase, whether it's a grocery store or a farmer's market, give you the ability to choose the crops that are most nutritious, most flavorful, that are most health-giving for your children, et cetera. And the idea is that if we can use transparency and empiricism, in such a manner, we can inspire the supply chain to focus on nutrient levels in food.
So where I think you're at now is that you're actually going to have a working unit, but there's also this whole data aspect of it, which is even more important than the unit in a lot of ways. So you're going to get it all right about what it looks like and what it tells the consumer on the spot when he goes into a store or she goes into a store.
Yeah.
But the data part is really the harder part, and you that's about to start up when you give people betas of this?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, we do have working prototypes now. We were able to get, the charitable donations sufficient to build them, engineer them this year. Foundational to everything we're doing is that it's open source. So the hardware is open source, the data is open source. We are not a company. We're a nonprofit educational organization. Our objective is to get this out into the commons. We don't want to be black box. We are not trying to make money on this. Everything is open source. But that being said, we do have the foundational prototypes built, and we're doing the calibrations right now. We just launched the crowdfunding campaign, so people can, give us $300, and you'll get your prototype next year, 2018. Where we're at now is basically building the data sets to make the tool give a reading to a consumer that means something. Because right now, you flash a light at the carrot and you see these peaks and valleys on a graph, basically, which doesn't mean anything to you. So what? Okay, I got peaks here and valleys there. And so you need to convert that into, this carrot is at 14% on the, you know, out of 100, and this carrot's at 80% out of 100. We need to convert that, those peaks and valleys, into a simple number, a simple answer. And that requires lots of carrots being sampled. So
there's not going to be a red, yellow, green light.
It could be red, yellow, green, you know, more red, more yellowish, you know, dark green. We haven't gotten that far yet. Right now, the first thing we have to do is actually, you know, build the data so we can actually figure out what quality is. We know what quality is based on our tongue and our nose, but empirically in the literature, this idea that there's a variation in quality is something for some reason, no one's touching it. No one wants to deal with the fact that there's this variation in nutrient levels in crops. So there's an assumption that all crops have the same nutrient levels in them, and that's categorically false. But no one's really looking at this and investigating this.
It could have a big effect on this argument between hydroponic and soil, too.
Well, it could expose the fact that, you know, how things are being done. And one of those things is that some of the soil-grown, you know, organic crops are basically being grown in beach sand and effectively being grown hydroponically, and some soil-grown crops are being grown in beautiful living soil. And some hydroponic systems are really, really simple, and some hydroponic systems are much more nuanced. And so there's a variation in soil-grown crops. There's a variation in hydroponic-grown crops. You know, my assumption is that, and I think it's probably fairly well-founded, that crops grown well in soil are always going to be much superior to even well-grown hydroponic crops. But there may be cases where some hydroponic crops are better than some, quote-unquote, soil-grown crops. So really, providing for transparency so we can discern really what's in and what's not in our food, and use that as an economic lever to provide feedback to the whole supply chain is the basic idea.
It sounds like an admirable goal, and that it would be wanted by consumers. You think it's going to be, there is a question about, you know, access to the technology. You know, who's going to be able to afford to have a unit, you know, or can a unit be put into a store maybe, you know, that tells you if some stores.
Yeah, so right now we're at the prototype phase, and we're not, you know, making any bones about it. And we're doing this as a nonprofit, and we're doing this in the commons. We're not trying to make money on this thing. 2 years from now, you know, fall of 2019, we expect the units for the consumer, calibrated for the consumer, will be available. So that'll probably be in the $100 to $150 price point. Looking out into the future, I would say by 5 years from now, there's no reason why the capacity to do this should not be in your smartphone. And so the hardware is really not that complicated. You know, some of the, you know, newest smartphones do have some of this hardware in it already. So it could be a free downloadable app, and you wouldn't need to buy anything. Then you go to the question of, well, not everybody can have smartphones, and then we've got social media. So, you know, how many people is it going to take out there testing bananas and, you know, to say, okay, looks like Dole is pretty much always better than Chiquita, for that word to get out on social media? Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to have, I mean, our vision is not that this is a tool that everyone has. The vision is that we understand that there's a massive variation in nutrient levels, and there's a competition to the top. There's an incentive for the farmers, the retailers, to do as good a job as possible, because consumers understand that some crops are more nutritious than others. As a farmer, which is, you know, my background, I can tell you categorically that the healthier your plants are, the more nutritious the food is that you grow, the better your bottom line. You literally make more money and can afford to charge less for healthier food. When a plant is healthy, as when a human is healthy, it's more productive. It has more energy, it has more vitality, it has more capacity. And so your yields go up the healthier your plants get. The more well you're working with soil, with nature, with life, with the microbiome, the less fertilizer you need. So your cost of production goes down. When your yield goes up and your cost of production goes down, you don't have to charge top dollar. In fact, my experience as a farmer is that I can charge somewhere right in the middle of the pack for top quality produce, get guaranteed customers, make a good living without working too hard. I think this is a win-win-win all the way from the ecosystem, you know, carbon sequestration, revitalizing aquifers, to, you know, through farm viability and, you know, quality of life, to consumer health, reversing degenerative disease. I mean, I don't see why we can't all benefit here. It doesn't have to be someone wins, someone loses. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe industry struggles because we don't need agrochemicals and fertilizers anymore. Maybe pharmaceutical industry struggles because we don't need their products so much because our food is actually our medicine because it's truly food. So those are the ones that are maybe going to be, you know, suffering. But I don't think it's the issue. Is people have a, you know, low economic status.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be some kind of label someday? You foresee, you know, like they'll say bio-nutrient enriched food or something like that.
Yeah.
You think that might come out of something like this?
Well, there's this whole, you know, thing with the organic, you know, now allowing hydroponic and the regenerative standards, people are talking about regenerative, and there's regenerative organic, and there's regular regenerative, and then there's the biodynamic, and then there's the certified naturally grown, and then there's the local, and then there's the people that are trying to say GMO-free or glyphosate-free. There's, you know, dozens of labels out there basically competing for people's attention. And, you know, foundationally, we would say you don't need a label to test the quality of the food. You have the ability to test it yourself.
Right.
But as long as there are people who want certifications labels, we're going to say we would love to collaborate with you to help. And you know, if you want your label to mean something as far as quality is concerned, as far as like the effect on the ecosystem is concerned, we can help you. We can work with you. We can work with your farmers to do a better job. And if your label is associated with true quality, actual empirical true quality, and not some process standard, then your label is going to have, you know, an economic incentive in the supply chain. So
you've told me before that you're not so worried about determining whether the fruit or vegetable has pesticides or, like, say, glyphosate in it. You know, it's not as important to you. Could you explain why that is? I mean, I think it would be important to a lot of people. It came up yesterday in discussion, you know.
Yeah. Well, foundationally, it's the life in the soil that is what feeds the plants. And that's how nature evolved the system, was that the plants make sugar in their leaves. They inject the sugar into the soil to feed the soil life, the bacteria and the fungi. The bacteria and the fungi digest the soil, digest the minerals in the soil, feed it to the plant, and there's a virtuous circle. The plant grows, makes more leaves, makes more sugar, feeds more into the soil life. It's a virtuous circle. There's no fertilizer involved in nature, right? Nature doesn't bring in bags of whatever, you know?
Right.
That's not how nature does it. So foundationally, only when the life in the soil, the bottom of the food chain is flourishing, should we expect the plant to be producing high-quality food, nutritious food. And when you apply toxic chemicals, glyphosate or, you know, Roundup or, you know, any atrazine or whatever your, you know, compound of choice is, that is functionally like an antibiotic. It functionally kills off the life in the soil. So it's basically impossible to apply toxins and have high-quality food. Mm. And so rather than fight the toxins, we're saying let's work towards the quality. And so, you know, our understanding is that the higher the quality of the food, the less the toxins possible present. When it comes to actually the logistics of the handheld spectrometer, in many cases, the toxins are present in parts per billion or parts per trillion. And, you know, we're not going to be able to look at things at that nuanced level with our $100 consumer tool. Parts per million is entirely possible. Mm-hmm. We may be able to find correlations, and we can say likelihood of the presence of this toxin is there, but we're not going to be able to directly perceive it.
So I think the consumer, though, gets, it's a very sexy news headline when it says, all wines and beer have glyphosate in it. You know, that's a reason.
But it's fear-mongering, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and okay, great. So the world's, you know, going to hell in a handbasket and we're screwed. Okay, great. Yes, one more reason to be depressed. You know, fine if you want to do that. But the real issue here is how are we going to build solutions? How are we going to get ourselves out of this mess? And, you know, part of the process of the plant making sugar through photosynthesis is, I mean, the ingredients to make sugar in photosynthesis are water, sunlight, and carbon dioxide. So the plant literally takes carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, turns it into sugar, injects it into the soil, feeds the soil life. They grow, reproduce, die. So, and their dead bodies are organic matter in the soil. So the process of growing plants well is a process of carbon sequestration. of pulling carbon out of the atmosphere and putting it into the soil. So when you apply fertilizers, you short-circuit that process. So food that doesn't taste good, that's bad for you, that's got chemicals in it, is also food that's causal in global warming. Food that is nutritious and flavorful, that came from healthy plants, actually was you know, causal in carbon sequestration. We can reverse global warming and reverse degenerative disease through simply eating food that tastes good. And so, you know, for me, there's plenty of people out there fighting problems and talking about how horrible stuff is. I don't think there's enough voices out there talking about solutions and how can we work together and how can we really focus on bringing about the world we want to see. Let's stop fighting the world we don't want and start building the world we do want.
Awesome. I love that. So you're doing that with this conference. I mean, this is pretty serious.
We're rocking.
Here. Dan, you're kicking some butt. I mean, this is a lineup that you have here.
We got some global players, some brilliant, amazing people that we're really honored to
have. Been doing it for years, and they're the light. I mean, we're talking years, 50 years in some case, 60 years.
Each one of them. No, we got, you know, centuries of wisdom and experience.
It's a little overwhelming. I mean, it's like very exciting.
The biggest complaint I've gotten is, how do I choose which workshop to go to? Like, well, the way we do things here is we record everything and we put it out for free online after the conference.
That's great.
So you get to come to the conference, you get to meet the people, you get to be part of the buzz and meet all the other amazing people who are drawn to it. And then you got all winter long to listen, to digest, to watch the, you know, the, look at the PowerPoints, and share freely across the planet.
Yeah, that's what I'm sure. That's the I know that what you're up to. You want these movers and shakers to go back and shake up their movers and shakers on the next level. And
well, that's the idea. Is I mean, we seem to be getting some traction around this idea of, you know, systemic solutions and this little handheld spectrometer as a tool in that process. And so, it's really a much broader strategy. But for some reason, people like shiny objects. And so, you know, okay,
whatever
great. Yeah, a little gizmo that you can, you know, and it'll be in your smartphone in a couple of years that you can go out and you can test quality that, you know, will cause your children to not be as sick, you know, that will help cause the environment to not be as sick. You know,
from my perch here, looking at all this stuff, I see it as inevitable, whether it's you and the BFA and all your people that you're aligning yourself with, but it's inevitable something like this will be out there, don't you think?
Well, I mean, we could go down, right, planet-wide. I mean, there's this whole thing about climate change and politics and
that's the wild card,
war and everything else. So, you know, if we continue on this trajectory, you know, that's where we're going to end. I think it's the data is looking pretty scary in the pretty short term. So I don't think it's inevitable. It does require us all who get this to engage, to show up. I feel like we've got some pretty good momentum, but we can't, you know, sit back on our rockers. We really got to focus here, and nothing like a crisis to focus the mind.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really great times for all this.
Honestly, yeah. And I have to say, the farmer, the person who grows their own food and everything, is going to be king.
Yeah, well, you know, I think people are becoming really aware of how vulnerable their existence is and how this culture is really, at the edge, teetering at the edge. And, you know, we care about our families, we care about our communities, we care about, the environment. This is something really simple you can do, is just eat food that tastes good. You know, most people buy food with dollars in this country. Spend those dollars on food that tastes good, and you are causing the solution to occur. Stop driving cars, stop using hydrocarbons, nice idea, not really plausible, I think. It's too much of a heavy lift for most people. They can minimize, perhaps, but systemically, it's difficult. But literally, by eating food that tastes good, you are, you know, solving many systemic issues simultaneously.
We got to get to that stage, though. I mean, people right now are so busy and their lives are harried. They're overwhelmed by what we just mentioned. You know, what the times. It's overwhelming, and it's overwhelming negative.
We'll
so they go into a store and they go, let me grab this, let me grab that. I got to get back and make this soup for the kids or the macaroni.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you know, it wouldn't be that hard to learn that Bunny Love is better than Calorganic or Earthbound is better than whatever,
right?
And then you can Chiquita is better than Dole or whatever. I mean, if once we get this out, once we figure out some of this basic stuff, and we can use that economic leverage, you know, there's people buy their bars and their powders and their drinks and things like that. I mean, we can we want to work with the supply chain. We want to work with the, you know, food industry to, you know, inspire their farmers to do a better job so they can put on their labels, look, we've got more nutritious crops, that it was involved in carbon sequestration, that it's better for you, that's more nutritious for you. So, I mean, we can meet people where they're at. We can meet the industry where it's at in packaged and processed food. I don't, you know, I mean, I personally don't call it food, but I don't understand a lot of people eat it. And there's, it's better or worse. It's a continuum. There's a continuum everywhere. And so, you know, making decisions, you know, based on this understanding, for self-interest, I think, is where we're trying to.
I think you've seen the populace make that decision already, going more organic. I mean, it's now just really burgeoning. Everybody's got
the
organic
food movement. The food movement
big.
Is massive. The natural products industry is massive. The people are understanding that. I mean, from a foundational level, I don't think the climate is so important to people. I think that their own physical vitality is what it comes down to,
that,
and
yeah.
the health of their families. And we understand that what we eat is what our bodies are built out of, and when you're eating junk, your body's junk.
Right. We have a new grandson in the family, and
yeah.
what my daughter and I, we're always discussing now, let's not make sure he gets anything that maybe causes autism.
Yeah.
We don't know what, I'm not saying it does, but I'm just saying, let's not take the chance.
We know that there's all these environmental factors that are, you know, that increase the, you
I'm
know,
in agreement with that, yeah.
And, you know, we don't need to make grand statements, but I mean,
my grandson's getting organic.
That's the thing. People really care about their kids.
Yeah.
Really care about, they. People love their children, and there's so many children that are suffering these days because we've got generations of people who've been eating food that's not sufficient, and it does not have in it what our bodies need to function. We're three generations into industrial ag, and when they do the experiments on rats and chickens and pigs, you feed them poorly for a couple generations and they fall apart. And we've been fed poorly for a couple generations and we're falling apart. Luckily, you know, you get a new body every 6 months, right? I mean, you know, 4 billion new cells every day, you do the math. You know, if you start eating food that's healthy, that's nutritious, you know, your body can revitalize in basically overnight. We have the capacity to turn this whole thing around. We can sequester carbon at ridiculously rapid rates. You know, we can reverse degenerative disease. We can do this. We totally have the capacity to do this. So, yeah, that's where we're at. And it does feel like it's gaining some traction.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sitting down and talking to me about this.
Thank you for getting on this early and sticking with it.
You've been listening to Dan Kittredge, the Executive Director of the Bionutrient Food Association. I'm Kevin Gallagher.
Digging in the dirt. Digging in the dirt.
You've been listening to Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher.